This morning, we are continuing our study of the aspects of Christianity explored by Rowan Williams in his book, Being Christian. I hope you all have a copy of the leaflet. I know many of you have been reading the book and studying alongside, either on your own or in house groups. Lucinda started the sermon series with baptism. Last week, Simon explored the Bible, and today we are looking at Eucharist, or Holy Communion. Baptism is in some way the foundation of Christian life. The Bible is our guide to Christian life, and the Eucharist is the sacrament of growth and nourishment in Christian life. I'm just going to read the excerpt that you have in the leaflet on page 10 if you want to follow along. We can see then that when the risen Christ eats with the disciples, it is not just a way of proving he is really there. It is a way of saying that what Jesus did in creating a new community during his earthly life, he is doing now with the apostles in his risen life. We, who are brought into the company of the apostles in our baptism, share that apostolic moment when we gather to eat and drink in Jesus' presence. Holy Communion makes no sense at all if you do not believe in the resurrection. Without the resurrection, the Eucharist becomes simply a memorial meal. As Christians, we don't say that we do or carry out the Eucharist. We celebrate it. Indeed, the person who leads the communion service is called the celebrant. And today I'm going to explore the Eucharist as celebration. At most celebrations, like a birthday or a wedding, as a guest we first have an invitation. We then go and celebrate with the host, giving thanks for the purpose or whatever we're celebrating, the event. And also, we look forward to more birthdays or a long and happy marriage. And we are going to look at Eucharist in those three ways, as invitation, as thanksgiving, and as hope. When my niece was married, it occurred to me how actually, although I love my niece very much, I had had very little to do with her upbringing. And there were many, the midwife who delivered her, her teachers at school and university, her first employer, and so on, who would have really had much more impact on her life than I. And yet they would not expect to be or were not invited to the celebration of her marriage. And yet, perhaps they had more right than me. My brother and my niece did not invite me to the wedding because of what I had done, but because they loved me. And at the wedding I sat with some old friends and family, but also with many people I had never met before. But I knew that these were people who were loved and valued by my niece and her new husband. Rowan Williams starts his chapter on the Eucharist, saying, "For Christians to share in the Eucharist, the Holy Communion, means to live as people who know they are always guests, that they have been welcomed and invited, that they are wanted. We have an invitation, and we have to accept that invitation. Just as at my niece's wedding, we don't have to have done anything special to deserve that invite. But unlike the invitation to a birthday or wedding, that invitation is for all. It's not just given to an elite few, but because God's love is so big, it encompasses us all. In truth, we have nothing to be proud of. We come humbly before our God. We do not deserve to come to the feast, but each one of us at the Eucharist, the ones we know, the ones we don't know, the ones we identify with, and the ones we find difficult to find anything in common with, all do have that something very special in common. We have all had that invitation because we are loved and valued by God and we have accepted that invitation. We do not come in our own right. We are not invited because of anything we have done, but because he loves us so very much. He is generous and wants to share with us. He takes us gently by the hand and brings us to the table to be with him. God's invitation to the his banquet is not exclusive. It reaches out to all. As Rowan Williams says, for that short time when we gather as God's guest at God's table, the church becomes what it is meant to be, a community of strangers who have become guests together and are listening together to the invitation of God. And the meaning of the Eucharist is inseparable from Jesus' practice of table fellowship with sinners and the poor throughout his ministry. All are invited to the table, most especially the poor, the sick, and the outcast. And that invitation is not one way. Jesus not only exercises hospitality, he draws out hospitality. In our reading from Revelation, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. You may well know the famous Holman Hunt painting and have it in your mind, The Light of the World. Jesus knocks and says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with that person and they with me. And Rowan Williams cites the example of Zacchaeus, the tax collector up the tree. And Jesus notices him and says, come down from the tree and invite me to your home. At the celebration of the Eucharist, we are invited to be with Jesus, but also we invite Jesus into our own lives and are invited to mirror Jesus by our hospitality to others. The word Eucharist comes from the Greek Eucharisto, meaning thanksgiving. If you've been to Greece, you may be familiar with the modern Ευχαριστώ, meaning thank you. It comes from the same root. Our Eucharist is a celebration of thanksgiving. Through our liturgy, the words we hear and speak, we remember and give thanks for Jesus' Last Supper and his great sacrifice for us. But just as a wedding celebration would be meaningless without the bride and groom, so for the community of faith, Christ has to be present at our celebration. As we give thanks that we have come to know him and that we renew our relationship with him. Christ is no mere memory. He makes himself present here and now through the breaking and eating of bread and the pouring and drinking of wine. And we who take part in this meal are one in community with him. To quote Rowan Williams again, as we read from our leaflet just now, Holy Communion makes no sense at all if you do not believe in the resurrection. Without the resurrection, the Eucharist becomes simply a memorial meal. So although the Eucharist is a sacred sacrament and should be revered, as Easter people living in the knowledge of the risen Christ, it is also a celebration of thanksgiving and joy that our company has been desired by God, that we are invited, and that through his grace we are being transformed, and that we have the hope of the coming of God's kingdom in its fullness. And that has brought us to my final point, hope. At a wedding, we hope for the new couple a long, happy and fruitful life together. At the Eucharist, we pray for the Holy Spirit to transform us and equip us to do God's work in a hopefully long and fruitful life. And we are aroused to that great hope of Christ's coming again. Just as at the resurrection, the risen Christ was transformed, and the bread and wine are in some way miraculous way transformed from the presence of Christ, so at Eucharist we ask the Holy Spirit to transform us, and in that transformation we can glimpse the transformation of all things at the end of time. The Eucharist discloses what human life by God's grace is intended to be. A life together in mutual understanding and love. It is an anticipation in the midst of present suffering of the coming joy of the messianic reign of justice, freedom, and peace. The Eucharist has many other names: the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, Divine Liturgy, the Breaking of Bread. But by whatever name we call it, it is essentially a meal to which we have been invited, a thanksgiving to God, the Father, a meal of communion with Christ, a meal of joy and hope in the power of the Spirit who gives us new life and provides a foretaste of the great messianic banquet at the end of time. Amen.
Amen.